Hi, welcome to episode 201 of Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings podcast. So to all our podcast listeners, I want to apologize for last week's episode. If you're listening to the podcast and listen to episode 200, the audio quality was not really good. We were actually at the Johnson Controls business conference, as you'll hear about in this episode, and it's more of a celebration than anything else. So if you didn't get a chance, go back, check the video out. Some cool video footage, got to catch up with a lot of old friends, so it was a good show. We try to make the podcast and the video cast different, so if you wanted to do both, you could, but sometimes when we're live on site like we were at JCI, the audio quality just does not translate well. So got a big show this week. We break down three different conferences. We were traveling last week. We went to the Johnson Controls Business Conference, the KMC Genius Summit, and the Siemens National Sales Meeting. So lots of cool things we're picking up on, some new trends. IoT really seems to be entering the building automation control space in a big way. And along with that is some new thinking about how things will probably be done in the future, including strategies for reoccurring revenue. Could it be that we'll have controls as a service, meaning that we'll be leasing the controls out? You'll hear more about that in the episode, as well as catching up with some really cool people and some cool ideas. The race to the small space is on, as you'll hear about. And Ken Smyers gives you an update on the thermostat wars. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend, Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
Welcome to Control Talk Now, episode 201. That's right, folks, 201 for the week ending October 16th, 2016. My name is Eric Stromquist, and we talk about all things smart building. Smart building controls, smart building manufacturers, smart building people, and even people like Roger Rebenack, one of the hardest working, smartest guys in the industry. But when you start talking about great people, you have to start with my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the well-traveled, the well-read, the well-heeled, Kenny Smyers, the control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, Big Dog.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. That was a pretty good run there. You had, well-traveled, well-read, well-heeled. I am well-heeled, and thank you for remembering. We've been doing well-traveled. That is something that we'll have to just get right into, because there has been a maelstrom of industry events that have just been, can't remember having this kind of a sequence, beginning with the Controls Group North America meeting in Chicago, all the way to just getting back from the Siemens National Sales Meeting. In between, we had the Johnson Controls CBC and the KMC Genius the Genius Conference. That's pretty cool. Genius Conference. I didn't make it there because I'm not a genius, but you did, so you could tell me all about it.
Well, they almost didn't let me in, man, because you almost had to have an IQ test to be able to get into that thing, Kenny. But I tell you what, you're right, man. It was like one conference after another. I think I was out 7 nights, you were out, and then came back and then went back out again. And I tell you, man, conferences, you know, the thing about those things is that, you know, we never have time for them, right? I mean, they're always sort of tough to get to, but I tell you what, man, they pay huge, huge dividends. And I tell you what, the three we went to did not disappoint. And I tell you what, before we start breaking the conferences down, though, Kenny Smyers, let's talk a bit about our sponsors this week. As you know, the Control Trends Awards are coming up in, is it February, right? Or the end of January, first part of February, in conjunction with AHR. So if you're going to that show that Sunday night, you got to make Control Trends your first stop, the Control Trends
January
Awards.
January 29th, yes. The Sunday before, January 29th, Eric, 6:30 to 9:30 at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Very, very cool, Kenny. Very, very cool. But, you know, Kenny, we're getting down to the nomination period, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the main thing is, if you're a platinum sponsor, the only way these awards take place is through sponsors. So we want to show our sponsors a lot of love. Because, you know, Kenny, a lot of these companies, man, they just realize that it's really good for the industry. You know, we think it's a great marketing investment too, but they step up to the plate. Guys like Eugene Mazzo from DG Logic, Mike Marson from EZIO, those guys, the one award ceremony ends and they go, hey, we're in for the next year. So it's guys like that allow us to do this, but it is our Hollywood event, we like to call it. We really turn the bright lights on to and the cameras on to the greats in our industry. And I tell you what, Kenny, we got two sponsors this week. So, you know, part of that is that we try to acknowledge our sponsors on each one of these shows as sponsors. And our sponsors this week, our first one is the Big Red H, Honeywell. And man, they're doing some great stuff. Kenny, a lot of stuff they got coming down the pipe. Why don't you give us a little quick take on that?
Well, I mean, if you're in the control business, you have to know who Honeywell is. You have to have run across some of the extraordinary product platforms that they have. But, you know, they're very, very active in the three primary markets, which are the commercial markets. So I'm on a support and resource center there for customer at honeywell.com. It is a plethora of information and knowledge. But, yeah, so Honeywell caters to three: the commercial market, the industrial market, and the residential market, with one of the largest product offerings in the world. But this time we're talking about the Honeywell upgrades to the WEBS 4.2 is going to be available soon. It's going to have the Niagara Analytics 2.0, which features all the functions and features of the product and 25 analytic points. The integrated release allows for real-time business intelligence, which enables users to make smarter, swifter decisions, leading to less waste and expense. So I think Honeywell's really happy to be flush with the latest innovations in the integration platform, where you've got everything embedded. You've got your graphics, you've got your analytics, and your ability to really save big time on you know, the stuff that makes it important. So knowledge, data is so available, so readily available, you get tripped up on it. But when you can bring that down into actual data, and this is what this analytic product will do, then you're really going to start making headways and realize those savings and efficiencies that you're out to get.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kenny, and the one thing that we have been, you know, just been inundated with is you know, using data to make buildings more productive. We've talked ad nauseum about the $300 rule, which is absolutely is critical that you have good analytics to take advantage of the Internet of Things, plus to be able to focus on that 300. So the $300 rule basically is, if you have a spend, you're basically spending $3 on energy, you're spending $30 on equipment, and that's per square foot. But the people in your space are spending $300 on people and productivity. So if you can effectuate a 10% change on that 300, you're much better than a 10% change on the energy. So the people that we're talking to, Kenny, it's kind of like energy is the icing on the cake. It's not the reason they do things. It's really that $300. How can we have our tenants be more productive? How can we have our people be more productive? If we can market our building as being a building that has more productivity out of your employees, you're going to win. And to do that, you have to have a couple things: the Internet of Things, you have to have devices, but you got to bring the devices in, you got to do analytics, you got to make sense out of it so that your building can be smarter and more conducive to work. So I think Honeywell is right on it with that. And of course, you know, guys like, and by the way, Roger Rebenack, thank you so much again for your a great intro or congratulatory 200th episode for us last week when we were out in the field. So Raj, appreciate that. But you know, Honeywell's got great people. They do the access, they do the security probably better than anybody. Roger Rebenack and Laura Kevin sort of lead that up. So great people. Big Red H, I tell you what, Kenny, it's like they're laying a little bit low right now, but I think they got some great stuff in the hopper that's getting ready to sort of burst out onto the scene. So special thanks to Larry Weber and the rest of the team at Honeywell for their support of the Control Trends Award.
Indeed, Dirk. Next up, our next sponsor is the Blue Ridge Technologies. And, you know, hats off to Bill Dunkelberger and Rocky, because they just keep new inroads into the industry. We see Blue Ridge Technology coming up in specifications now. But what's really cool about these guys is how they go about business. You know, the contractors are becoming more understanding of how the Blue Ridge Technology Unified Control helps them maximize energy savings and reliability with the familiar protocol back that MSTP. And so what unified means is you have one network, one user interface, one point of accountability with wide open integration. So we're seeing this Blue Ridge technology concept really start to take hold as people get more and more familiar with it, because now they realize that they can go in there and they can modify existing lighting panels and lighting systems, and they can integrate it and unify it into the single workstation using the BACnet protocol.
I don't know about you, Kenny, but I wouldn't mind my lighting from a guy who rides a motorcycle and looks like he's from Sons of Anarchy. Our friend Bill Duckelberger, man, I tell you what, he is one of the coolest guys I know. I think our friend Jeff Haupt from AI out in Oklahoma City coined the phrase that we're in the integrity economy, which basically means, you're going to be competing against people one day, and the next day you're going to be working with them. But what you're really trading off of, I think more so now than ever, Kenny, is your integrity. I mean, your word is everything. You have to be nimble. You might be, like a Smyers family Thanksgiving, where maybe one, before the meal, you guys are duking it out, but at the meal, you're sitting down singing Kumbaya together. You have to be that flexible. And I think Bill, to me, epitomizes, Kenny, the integrity economy guy. He's a guy that he says what he means and he means what he says. If he tells you you're going to do something, he's going to do it. And this is a guy that started at ALC, folks, sweeping the warehouse. He worked himself up and became actually the president of ALC. He's that type of a guy. And then from there, they had a lighting company that wasn't going well. And Bill says, I think I can make something happen with that lighting company. So he buys it, renames it Blue Ridge Technologies, and the rest is history, as they say. But if you haven't dealt with Bill Duckelberger yet, because, Kenny, at the end of the day, if you think about it, the products, you have to have great products to even be in the game, right? You have to have great products. You have to have great service to be in the game. But I tell you what, Bill sort of brings that it factor. I mean, he's a partner. I mean, if Bill tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's somebody you can count on, and I encourage you to check those guys out. And special thanks to Bill and Rocky Moore and the rest of the team at Blue Ridge for their sponsorship of the 2016 Control Trends Awards.
Right, and just remember that Blue Ridge Technology has a solution for you for retrofits, which we have up on the board here, as well as new installations and new applications. But you need to give Blue Ridge Technology a good look. Their website is www.brtint.com.
That's the truth, Kenny Smyers. That's the truth. And buddy, listen, so we celebrated our 200th episode in Nashville, Tennessee. It concurred with the Johnson Controls Business Partner Conference. And buddy,
can you see that?
They just knocked it out of the park, didn't they?
They sure did. Like you said, the efficacy of trade shows and corporate meetings used to be under question because they were expensive both in times of money and time. So in terms of time and money, when you go somewhere and in 3 days, 2.5 days, you get a concise presentation. You get to meet the hierarchy of Johnson, for instance. We got to meet and hear updates and just the passion that these people have. Rick Van Buren, the guy who really was in the trenches marketing things. Chris Eichmann, of course, is just the consummate leader, corporate leader. Jenny Stenz, an amazing corporate leader who tells a story. She really brought it across about the relationships and how, she told the background to Honeywell. She reviewed it and made everybody aware that, Johnson has two headquarters now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Shanghai, China. She reaffirmed Johnson's vigorous commitment to the buildings business and how Johnson's out to attract partners and play to win with specifying features that provide competitive advantages. And just one more aside, Johnson has 50 factories in North America, 15,000 channel partners, and they expect to drive growth across 200 products across 70 brands, with 2,000 products across 70 brands. So, again, some of the people that we met and got a chance to talk to and get updates from: Al Anderson, who runs the technical support, Chris Lane, Greg Wilmer, Russ Carfagna, just a bunch of just great professionals that really have a passion to do things as well as they can. And customer satisfaction is paramount.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, that's for sure. And then the other thing is special thanks to everybody. We go to these conferences now, and people like Russ Carfagna come up and talk to us and tell us that they watch the show and listen to the show. And I tell you what, that I don't know about you, Ken, that means everything to me, but we're meeting so many cool people. when we go to these conferences, and we're finding out there's so many people that actually tune in to the Smart Buildings podcast and video cast every week. So just can't tell you how much we appreciate that and appreciate you speaking. Met a cool guy from Canada. You can see him on the one of the videos we did. He's got a cool product. But what we're finding out, Kenny, is there's just a lot of talent. In our industry and a lot of cool people.
I found his card. I got a card for him. That was Christian Tremblay. He's engineering with services, and he came up with Back-Zero. It's a program to do pre-testing before you take your stuff out to the job site and start it up. You can do all the diagnostics and make sure everything's working and turn on basically through simulations and advanced diagnostics as far as how things are going to work and work the bugs out before you go out to your customers and do it there in front of them.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, that's absolutely cool. But, and I think one of the common things for these conferences that we're picking up on, and I mean, this has been going on for a while. I mean, you have it at a really cool place. You obviously want to talk about your products and what you're doing. But I think, Johnson sort of sets the standard for this and others are following. It's about educating people and making them better business people. So, I mean, that's where you can really justify going to these conferences is that when you get companies like Johnson and KMC and Honeywell and everybody else, when they have really good speakers come in and educate you on your business. So, for example, in your brain, what do you get when you cross George Carlin, famous comic who is sort of passed away now, but you older guys will probably know George Carlin, one of the funniest guys ever, with Ben Bernanke, the guy who runs the Federal Reserve. You get one of the speakers we had at the Johnson Controls Conference. Alan Ballou, I think is his name. And Kenny, he blew me away. I tell you what, if you're feeling down on the economy or whatever, or feeling bad about the U.S., listen to this guy. When he gets down to just the facts, you really realize that the media is a business just like us. They got a quota. We've got to get sales. They've got to get viewers. And they have discovered that the best way to do that is bad news sells. So anything they can slant to make things look awful, like the sky is falling, they know that's good for ratings, but that's not good for people like me and you. I mean, if you're like me, your hair will fall out if you think too much about that stuff. So Kenny, I mean,
Also had Clay Nestor. Remember Clay Nestor?
Hang on. I want to get to Clay in a second, but cool. Let's get back. Let's talk about what Alan had to say, because I think our community would probably really appreciate some of his insights. So Kenny, fact or fiction? Manufacturing is leaving the U.S.
Fiction.
Yeah. And U.S. is the number one manufacturing place on the planet. Fact or fiction? The U.S. is a lot more expensive to manufacture here than in China.
Fiction. Just barely.
Fact or fiction? If you have a business, the most stable place you can go is overseas, and the U.S. is very unstable.
Fiction. Every economy is based on the U.S. dollar, or most of them.
Yeah.
And will continue because there's nothing to replace it.
Right. Fact or fiction? The U.S. dollar is getting ready to go away as the default currency.
That's fiction. It's going to be, and there's nothing to replace it. Yeah. How did I do so far, Eric?
You're doing great, Kenny, but give me your take on this guy. This guy, to me, was just, he lit it up. And we'll talk about Clay Nestor in a second, but I came away feeling so encouraged.
You say that, and as you say it, I had to interrupt her real quick because, it's a temporary thing. In other words, the things go in cycles, and he's likening the next, in 2030, we're going to see something like we had in 1930, or actually 1928, 29, leading to the Great Depression. He said right now we are in a momentum swing. The pendulum is swinging in our favor. There's going to be a steady inflation, but we are going to have compensations in that inflationary period that's going to make investment very good. Right now, money is inexpensive. It's cheap. Go borrow it. Invest it in things that are going to lead to greater dividends. Companies that are concerned about what their future looks like, this is a go time. This is a green light time. Now, that's going to change. He was saying that he expects that to change in the year 2028 to 2029, 30, just almost replicating the economic depression we had in the early 1900s. But the whole concept was, like you said, he believed that this is probably one of the most opportunistic times to be in business, and that everything's working in your favor. You've got low interest rates. You've got technology that's dumping into your lap, giving you ideas and opportunities, choices, so you commit to a solution and be very successful selling that solution, providing that solution, living on that solution. So he said, go for it now, guys. Don't wait.
Right. And he's got a book, Kenny, that he has got, you know, written, you know, How to Profit in the Coming Depression. So, you know, I talked to Chris Eichmann a little bit about this guy, and Chris says they use him at Johnson Controls, says he is right on. His hit rate is very, very accurate. And so here's the game plan, everybody. Write this down. So what you want to do, you want to borrow money, grow your business, 2029, sell your business to somebody you don't like, take the money, and 2034, start buying back in. Little known fact, there were more millionaires that came out of the Depression than any other time in history. So, I mean, one thing we know for sure is if you've got money and you hit a depression, you can buy things for pennies on the dollar and ride it back out. But interesting guy, Kenny. And then the other guy you were talking about, you know, Johnson's got a smart building, for lack of a better word, an economist, a guy that he just watches smart buildings and the trends. And he sort of educated us a little bit, too. What were some of your takeaways from him?
Well, Clayton Escher's mission is to save the world for fun and profit. And he described to us an incredible life in a day of a future building. But actually, it isn't future yet. It's here right now. So, in fact, what he referenced William Gibson, and he said the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. So basically, what we see, Eric, is that there is a compilation of technology that in 24 hours gives you and delivers the most available, from battery storage, the Moore's Law, the batteries will soon impact – Moore's Law will impact the battery industry, but you're going to see batteries that were – you're going to see people coming to the near zero and net zero terms. Like on a sunny day, the net zero building will put away excess energy on the grid. It'll actually save it, and then what's left – the battery capacity is exceeded, put it onto the grid, so you're actually generating power. Interestingly, normally policy – lags when you try to do something like this. This time, the policy is leading the way. The ideal locations right now are California, where the net zero game can be really enacted and delivered because there's not a real test on the heating or the cooling. So there's a lot of roof space where they can take a lot of that building space footprint and put panels up there and really start generating some considerable power that they store locally. So what we watched was that during different times of the day, from a.m., 9 o'clock, whatever, starts getting hot. Well, they had saved, the ice storage capacity starts to be utilized and contributes. They avoid all the peak demand periods. So basically, it is feasible now to create near zero or net zero buildings with the technology we already have available. But there's headwinds, and the headwinds that still delay adoption is lack of awareness, lack of expertise, uncertainty of ROI, insufficient ROI, and available funding. He gave an example. U.S. right now, we don't have money, while in India, they have the money, but they have no expertise.
Very, very cool. Well, listen, it's interesting you talk about the net zero buildings, because at the KMC conference, they had a speaker from California. He's saying it's going to be mandated by 2020 that the homes become net zero homes, which basically means they produce as much energy as they take in. And by 2030, the buildings will be required to do that. And as we know, California's a bellwether state. It happens out there and it comes back, travels back east. So what's interesting to me, Kenny, is you look at folks like Johnson Controls and KMC and Acuity Brands, and it's like they seem to be bundling for this next big sort of trend, if you will. And, with Johnson Controls, they're the largest battery manufacturer in the world. They understand battery technology. We postulated after talking to Jenny Stentz a couple of months ago that Johnson might be the first company that has a building that's controlled by smart batteries, right? That maybe you got the solar on the roof, because now with Tesla and the power wall, you can actually store the power and then power the batteries after that. And we sort of jokingly said that, Kenny, and postulated it, but after talking with listen to Clay Nestor talk, I think that's a reality. I think that might be part of their plan. So it was interesting stuff there. And I want to make another comment about Johnson, but I do want to, one last thing about our economist that I think our viewers need to know. So he was very specific about the need to vote for somebody in particular. So fact or fiction, who should they vote for?
I can't touch that, Eric.
No. Remember, he said it doesn't matter. He said,
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what, we we agreed not to get political.
Well, no. His point was, and this is where I was going with that. He says it absolutely does not matter who wins the election.
President. Oh, as far as the outcome of the economy.
For the economy. Yeah. From the economy standpoint. That's what I was going at.
Without the leadership, this is all momentum. It's economic momentum.
I tell you what, our political elections have become like a reality TV show. I tell you what, it's like, I go watch my daughter play with her friends, and you know when they get nasty, they act better than these two yahoos that are running for political office. It's the most comical thing in the world. I think you have to look at it as entertainment, right? I mean, you can watch them or you can watch the Kardashians. It's all the same thing. The Real Housewives of Orange. Whatever. I digress. But sort of cycling back around, I'm going to get us out of this, Kenny, because I can tell you're going, oh my gosh, we got to get out of this. The other thing that I think Johnson has realized and is, you know, a trend that we've been talking about, Kenny, is the race to the small space. So real quick, for our audience who might not know, talk about the race to the small space and talk about Johnson's entry.
Oh, that's really good stuff there. Now we're back on track. And the reason why is that we have seen a consistency here in trends. We picked it up 2 years ago, and I think you coined the race to the small space.
You did, buddy. You did. You're the man.
The reason
with the
why
words.
Is because we saw it happening. It began with Mike Marston with his pyramid. We were in Paris, and he gave us the. We were right behind the, or we had in the background the Louvre and the pyramid. And that's Mike Marston's symbol of where he wants to go to the market with EZIO. Is everybody's fighting over that the apex of the market and the vertical integrations and the really challenging. Long sales cycle business where the majority of our business potential is in the 80% underserved buildings that are the light commercial building solution, light commercial building market. So you have different terminologies of the solutions, but reality is that there's a need, there's an imperative to go after these smaller buildings, 25,000 square feet, 5,000 square feet. And now we're seeing a plethora of products coming through with solutions. And Johnson released the VersaSys product line, which is intended for the LCBM, the light commercial building market, to provide remote monitoring and control as well as leveraging of the new IT technologies that are readily available. We're talking plug and play, configurable with a smart mobile phone, and you're off and ready to go. And it's so it provides you that. And it already comes with analytics, already comes with the things you need to make it work. So there's none of the, we forgot this in our quote, we forgot this, and we're going to have to get some more money out of this. This thing's like out of the box, onto the application, into the single seat workstation. And you're functioning. And we also got good news with the other folks that we went to visit, KMC and Siemens included. They've got product solutions now designed specifically to provide solutions for this not new market, but this all of a sudden trended market.
It's become affordable now, Kenny. That's the thing. They've taken the technology, that was only available for big buildings and JSIS. They're driving that down. The reason they're able to do that is a couple reasons. One is they're using the cloud. The other thing, the internet of technology has sort of caught up that, the economies of scales have gotten so much that it's very, very affordable to the fact that KMC, with their commander, you can even look at if you're a service contractor, giving that control system away for a 5-year service agreement. So we're seeing that. Johnson is kind of interesting because we saw Kevin Fasanelli and Daikin. We saw Kevin Fasanelli and Daikin. Their whole thing with their plug and play thing was they put a lot of the smarts in the equipment, right? So then you could pretty much configure it with an iPad or whatever. And, Johnson has taken a page out of Darth Vader's playbook there because a lot of their VersaSys product, if you couple it with their York equipment, you get some extra benefits there. In other words, it's a little bit easier to get the data because it's sort of embedded into the equipment and set up in a way that it'll come right out on your iPad. So I think Johnson's got that going on with that VersaSys product. It's a cool product. We're looking forward to working with that. And so it was cool stuff there. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, Johnson's product showcase, Kenny, as you can see from some of the videos that we put up, is spectacular, mainly because they have so many different brands, right? So you go to that product showcase, and it's like just unbelievable, huh?
Well, sure. You were saying about the synergies and the integration. We saw it with Acuity first. We got a good in-depth presentation on Distech, Acuity, and DG Logix and how that was going to produce an incredibly new synergistic solution for buildings. And then we saw like Johnson, they have six business units. They have chillers, VFR, ductless, UPG Ducted PX Air Systems. They have the controls, building controls, and then the aftermarket business. But they really are putting together that synergistic thing where their controls, we're going to see a lot of them on the OEM. There's going to be a lot of aftermarket business in the future. But they're making them, they're ensuring compatibility and single efficiencies. There's nothing that there where you got to go through gateways. I mean, this stuff is up and running, and it's done with a design purpose. It's intended. There's a cool thing that Jenny Stent said. Is none of this is accidental. Or this is well thought out. This is where they work together as a team with these six business units to start to get those synergies across. All the way, she made a statement saying that, you know, you've got an integrated car. I mean, so why can't you get an integrated building? And the next solution that they're going to be integrating with, no doubt, is going to be Tyco and all the increased value that that will bring to the existing Johnson Controls value proposition.
No, absolutely, Kenny. Absolutely. So JCI rocked and rolled, Kenny, and great conference, over 700 people there, great hospitality. I think they do them every 2 years. Encourage you, if you miss this one, to get to the next one. Johnson's on the move. They're doing some great, great stuff. And then I went on from there to Chicago to KMC's conference. And I tell you what, Kenny, we stay at the Langham Hotel, downtown Chicago. These rooms go for $800 or $900 a night regularly. KMC had negotiated just a super, super low rate. This was by far and away, Kenny, the nicest hotel I've ever stayed at. I almost didn't come home. I was just going to wanted to hide out there and just stay there. So, you know, the room was spectacular. It's almost as big as my house. It was actually, it used to be the IBM building. It's one of the most famous architectural design buildings in Chicago at the time. It's right next door to, you know, we've all seen the building. It's got the parking lot with the circles that go around and the condos, the two side-by-sides. The guy that designed it was a guy named Mies, who's designed, I guess, a ton of the buildings in Chicago. So it's a very, very famous building. Langham's moved in there. And sort of put it in perspective, the first night, you know, there's not a knock on your door. There's a little ring. There's a doorbell. And all the stuff is digital, so you touch things to turn the lights on or whatever. And I open the door, and the nice lady's there, you know, asking if I want turned down service, right? And I go, no, it's all good. But if you have one of those little chocolates, I'd love one of those. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I don't have a chocolate. Well, I said, no big deal. It's not a big deal. And, you know, went back to whatever I was doing. And about 10 minutes later, there's another ring on the door. And all of a sudden, she shows up, and she's got three, I mean, exotic Swiss candy bars. I mean, big ass candy bars, right? They're wrapped in a ribbon, and she presents them to me, right? So it's like, it was that level of service, right, that at the hotel. So I think that set an expectation. And, I, you know, we know Richard Newberry, the CEO of KMC, and I don't think anything happens by accident with Richard Newberry. We'll talk a lot about him as we go on. But so you're in this just top-notch hotel with great service. You with KMC, who is a company that provides great customer support, great service, and great products. And they had fantastic speakers. You can, you know, see the videos. We did a highlight called the KMC Genius Conference Highlights. You can see that on Control Trends. Encourage you to check that out. I tried to get some snippets from the speakers and some of the key points they were making. But Kenny, I tell you what, it was absolutely spectacular. So here is, and their sub theme was Command Your Future, because it was all around Commander. Okay, their race to the small space product. And again, the thing with that is it's open, it's scalable, it's affordable. Okay, so that's their product. But here's the new trend, Kenny. We heard this over and over and over at KMC. You know, we've heard of software as a service, right? Jeff Haupt from AI was the first guy that sort of turned us on to this reoccurring revenue, right? So what they were talking to us over and over about is having that monthly revenue coming in. They're saying we're in a society where we no longer want to buy things. We want to lease them for just as long as we're going to use them, right? And I can speak to that because the software that I used to do the editing is called Adobe. You cannot buy Adobe anymore. It's a monthly fee. You get all the updates. You get everything else. It's a compelling business case, Kenny. I think we're going to see and hear more and more about, and I called it on one of the videos, we'll call it controls as a service. But how do you get that reoccurring revenue? KMC is postulating with their products and what they've got going on and the price points that controls and reoccurring revenue is going to be the next big thing we're going to see in our industry in terms of how business is done.
Well, you mentioned earlier that one day we might lease controls and control systems so that there's no it's not a capital expense anymore. It's a provided solution. And that would certainly lend to what you're saying right there. But I think what's happening is we're seeing less and less products are going to be available to the business that used to be all about manufacturing and replacing parts. And the more the merrier. And then when you included security, that was just another, laundry list of parts that could be serviced and then replaced, so there was a lot of in and out of parts. Well, we're seeing that less and less. A lot of this things that used to be local controls or whatever are going into supervisory controls, and supervisory controls are becoming edge controls, and edge controls don't need as much size, and they're relying on the cloud for the long-term analysis, short-term analysis they can make right there. So what we're seeing is that the hierarchy that used to take you through say four or five levels of controllers and field devices are now being shrunk by two, maybe three, so that you're going from this very powerful edge device that serves as a local controller, field device, and a supervisory controller, and then from there it goes up into the cloud for the heavy-duty processing. So we need to fill that vacuum with something else, and that could be that what you're saying, that the controls as a service, and that service does what still it's not magic. You need somebody that's going to caretake the equipment, and know the be able to support what the diagnostics tells you. Somebody has to go out there and be able to turn a wrench, but they also need to understand that the way the business model is changing is almost you're going to pay for the software side of it. You're going to pay for the upgrades, the constant need to improve the software and the integration process that requires security concerns or whatever. So that's going to be an ongoing, never-ending cost, but it's being reduced. So you get the economy of scale. So I think you're right. I think we're at the beginning of it. We're going to start selling it real soon.
Well, Niagara sort of started it, right? Where you've got the licensing agreement and all that, and I think that you almost have to do that because you're going to constantly improve the product. Software industry is big on that because you got to pay for these upgrades and you got to keep up. I mean, if nothing else, with just the security issues, right? So, but could it be, Kenny? And a couple of the speakers were saying that 80% of their revenue is reoccurring revenue, right? And they like it that way because at the first of the month they know exactly how much they have coming in. And so they're selling those agreements. So could it be part of that is, as we talk about this all the time, the products are all great. It's very difficult to differentiate your product, right? I mean, you can still do it some, but as soon as you do it, other people catch up, and now it's a me too. We've talked about, the need that the person has the right messaging wins, right? We've talked about marketing being absolutely critical now, and salespeople being more critical than ever, and how you get positioned in the brand and so on and so forth. But could it be that the next big thing here is how the product is bought? And you mentioned CapEx versus operational expenses, and I'm not an accountant, but from what I understand, if you do CapEx, you got to report it. It becomes a liability, a depreciating asset, and all that kind of stuff. If you are leasing it, it goes into the operational budget. It does a lot of things for the accounting and the financial people that buying stuff can't do. So I am wondering if, how the product gets bought or purchased might not become the next big differentiator.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, but we're seeing the origins of it. We're seeing the first foundations, the first players, and we're seeing how to do it. And like you said, you always have the chasm to cross. You'll have the early adopters. You'll have the people that really do pave the roads and basically help educate the market. And then there's going to be the Me Too-isies that come in. And because people don't jump, it's just not possible. A lot of people in their career-wise, they're in the sweet spot. Excuse me. They've got maybe 5 to 10 years of professional career left, and they don't want to take on something that's going to disrupt the entire operations and challenge them to the point where they could be making mistakes that they don't want to make, but they're forced into it because they feel like they've got to respond to technology. Scott Cochran said something a while back that I think still was toe-to-toe. So every time we see this leading thought process with leading technology introducing all these options and all these new ways of business, you still got the drag on there is going to be that if it's not practical, it doesn't do it. So you're going to have a large playing field where you got to fit somewhere in there. In other words, don't drop your business today because you think this is going to be the next big trend, but certainly be aware of it and work with the manufacturers and the vendor providers that are giving you that access, that are educating you while they're transitioning you through this IoT thing. Like Ken St. Clair said, you know, worst case scenario is that our business becomes so dominated by these new intelligent whiz kids that can do everything from a laptop that used to be done physically, because they can monitor, they can evaluate, they have cameras, assists. So you've got all this new smart technology, but the reality is that you're still working with equipment, and it still has to work with different generations of equipment. We saw a large project with an emergency over the last at the beginning of the week, where the system had worked flawlessly since 1992, 1993 was completed, and then all of a sudden, it's done. It's gave its last hurrah, and the choices that you can take in that kind of a situation using new technology is just absolutely amazing. There's just a lot of potential, and I think that coupled with the economic forecast that we got, Eric, is that some of the doom. Day type of end of the day, we'd say, man, we don't have a chance here or anything. I think what we got to do is just keep moving that sweet spot, keep moving around, attend these things that we're doing here, and then come, kind of exfiltrate your solution. Take some from here, some from here, some from here, generate a new, your new solution as a contractor and as a distributor. That's a good segue into our next part of the Control Talk Now, which is a national sales meeting, is that the skills that you have, and I think you're a believer of it too, you have to constantly hone your skills. You have to constantly stay knowledgeable, but you have to really understand the trends. You have to understand that whoever's holding the customer's hand at the end of the day wins. You have all these great solutions, and you know it, and I know it. Everybody has a great controller. Everybody has a great support team. Everybody has great marketing. How do you differentiate your business? Well, people that like you continue to buy from you. So, yeah, I think it's a very boost to kind of a message that gets stale after a while. How to sell and be a good salesperson. Remember the days of Dale Carnegie and all the other Zig Ziglar. You constantly try to energize the people that go out there and represent these products and these vendors. And then if all things are being even, like you said, if somebody can find a way to be personable, make a good impression, and be sincere and demonstrate a passion for their stuff that they're doing, well, they're the ones that win. So, it's not magic.
Yeah, and you talk about that. Let's talk about Richard Newberry, the CEO of KMC a little bit. So I got a chance to spend some more time with Richard, and you talk about just a dynamic guy. You and I had heard about him, Kenny, because he was the guy that went out and got Dell and Intel, drug them, got them to come in to work with KMC to create the Commander product, right? So you got Dell and Intel inside. You'll see more about that. It makes it more secure. Also gives them some other advantages. But the story, we heard the story, and Richard told it again, that the first time, I guess, Dell and Intel showed up at a RealCom IBCon show, Richard Newberry, I mean, he didn't hesitate. He went and he said it took the whole meeting. He kept begging to be able to meet with these guys, and they wouldn't meet with him. And finally, he heard that the guy he needed to meet was in a room. He just went up, refused to be denied, went into the room, sat down to talk to these guys. He said he had to pretty much beg them to talk to him about working with KMC. Those were his words. And by this time, he didn't have any more business cards or anything. And it was just one of those things that, he was passionate about it. He believed in what KMC was doing. He saw the future. He had the vision of the future for that. They needed to partner with these guys. And, we heard the story that Intel and Dell, I guess, about a month later, they called KMC and they said, well, it was a guy with the glasses that, dresses really nice. And they, you mean Richard Newberry. But they were at the KMC conference. I had a chance to interview, and you can see it on the video, one of the Dell guys there. So the Commander product, Kenny, sort of a couple things. So that's leadership, persistence, passion, like you mentioned, and just not being denied. So he went for that. And this Commander product, I tell you what, I think is going to be a platform that you're going to see grow and grow and grow. They're starting with a bit of a simplistic version, if you will. So they've got the price point very, very low. It's a platform they'll be able to build on. And there's going to be a software as a service update with that. So they're planning on, they want to get it into the marketplace as quickly as possible. They're focusing on those buildings that don't have anything. I think it's 5 million buildings. and they're going to grow with it. So the Commander is available. So check with your local KMC distributor or integrator to find out more about that. I feel like I'm long-winded today, buddy.
Well, you know what? It's okay. But the Commander, just for clarification, does not require licensing, and is it a software package with it, or is that just out of the box and bring it up?
Everything you need in it, including analytics, cool. The programming. You don't no licensing available. They'll sell you software updates if you want to. They highly recommend that because they're going to, you know, the roadmap, they're going to continue to improve on it. So. It's good stuff, Kenny.
Hi, Derek. Well, the next major event that we went to right after that, you were in Chicago already, and I flew in from Pittsburgh, and then we got to go to the CPS, the Siemens CPS Business National Sales Meeting. We both were invited to speak at certain parts during the breakout sessions, and they had, and it was, again, I thought it was an amazingly different version, but it had every bit of the intensity and passion. You know, the group of professionals that basically run the business side of Siemens in the HVAC, the talent side. They also had some other divisions there, but you know, we were pretty much with the group from talent. But Siemens now too has a bunch of young leaders that are really, really focused on engaging new markets and working with people that they're making more of Siemens as a softer side of Siemens type of thing, where Siemens used to be a branch only entity, a kind of a monolithic approach. If the Siemens branch got a project, that was end of story, and then you had to wait for the next renewal periods or whatever, or indefinitely Siemens would hold on to their customers. So the Siemens kind of engaged the light commercial and commercial customers and users with their, you know, valve actuator assemblies and their direct coupled actuators. And of course they had a very strong competitive, entries into both of those markets. But now we're seeing them come into the thermostat. They have the Ready 2000B, which is BACnet compatible. It probably is the most universal commercial stat in the market right now. There's not many applications they can't do, whether it's, water source heat pump, rooftop units, fan coil units. It could do everything, and it has an onboard humidity sensor. So Siemens now has taken kind of they've kind of deviated from the standard Siemens marketing relationship with distributors and users, and they've gone into a new world. What were your impressions? We'll go over the list of people that we met up with, but just your gut feelings. What did you think about Siemens?
Well, I think Siemens, I mean, if you were a gambler, you know, they call betting on the come, somebody that's sort of unknown and getting ready to just break out. I think, you know, when you go with Siemens, you're betting on the come. I mean, there was a commercial years ago, Kenny, you know, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. You remember that, where Oldsmobile was changing their image up and, they got the really cool cars. And I think this is not your father's Siemens. You got a lot of young executives. They get it. Siemens is one of the largest control companies in the world. The only knock we had from a distribution side, you know, other than the one about it was very branch centric, was they had this massive portfolio of products and we just got sort of a limited subset of them. You know, the products were great. They were always great, but it was just kind of like, as a distributor, how do you sort of position the brand in your customer's mind? And so they're bringing more and more products through distribution. So I think, you know, you're betting on the come with Siemens. They're going to continue to do well. And, you know, I think it all starts with leadership. They got a lot of young leaders, but you had a chance to catch up with the president of that division. So I've got a clip of that. So introduce him real quick and I'll play the clip.
Good. I would like to introduce John M. Karzmarczyk. He's the vice president, Americas Control Products and Systems. And I'll tell you what, this guy here, you talk about leadership. It was cool to be involved in a meeting where the hierarchy, there's so much gelling going on. There was so much, there were people from the East Coast, West Coast, North, South. Territorialized some of their markets and how they call on customers, and it was really neat to be part of that. Like you said, the new ventures that they're going into is economizers, the Ready thermostat, the Ready 2000 thermostat now in the commercial thermostat world, and of course they've always had a strong and consistent presence in the VFDs, and now with the BT300, some of the features that differentiate that VFD from the other VFDs is making it a real eye catcher. And like we said about the light commercial building solution, Siemens has what they call the total room automation. And that's where they integrate heating, the HVAC, HVAC lighting and shading. The shading is a principle or concept that comes out of Europe mostly. When I lived in Europe, it was the first time I was exposed to the incredible emphasis on shading. With the Rouladen that they put down at the end of the night, it totally shuts out, blackens the room, immediate sleep. So I remember I was in the Air Force and I couldn't come off. I'd come off a midnight shift and you couldn't go home and sleep because you couldn't get the curtains, tight enough and seal out the light. Well, not in Germany. You put down these lights, these Rouladen things. That's shading. It blackens the room. No light. So they automated that. So typically a house in Germany, a newer house certainly, the shades are put on a timer. Just like the lights go out, the shades come up. So every morning the shades automatically come up, and they have a whole different concept because they totally maximize the efficiency of that lighting. So as the shades have an opportunity to bring in more of the outside lighting, they turn the inner lighting down, unless it's a problem or the better HVAC gain, where because the summer heat's coming in through that light and it's going to cause the air conditioning to come on, the cooling's more expensive than the benefit of the free lighting. So it figures all this stuff out for you. So this is going to be a big play down there in the hospitality suites, in dormitories, in office commercial buildings, where the more of this you can automate it and put it into certain rules of operation and sequence of operations, that you can just rely on your building system being totally automated into one of the most efficient scenarios possible.
Cool. Well, all right, here's Kenny talking to John Karsmarzik.
Hi, this is Ken Smarz with Control Trends. I'm with John Karsmarzik, Vice President of Products and Control Systems, Americas. Siemens is a global corporation, one of the most recognized brands in the world. So tell us about what they're doing in Americas.
Okay, so when we talk about Siemens in Americas, we're probably talking about control products and systems, part of building technologies, my organization. What we're trying to do is we're trying to become more engaging, trying to be more open, easier to work with from an overall standpoint.
Awesome. And there's a lot of new products being introduced at this meeting, too.
We're introducing a lot of products. We're spending a lot of time, and we're also opening up more and more of these products to more people. We're really trying to open up our go-to-market and trying to be more effective in the way we do this.
Okay, John, for our Control Trends community that might not be engaged in working with Siemens now, what can they expect if they get Siemens as a partner?
Well, obviously, we have a huge investment from an R&D standpoint. We're continuously bringing out new products. We're known as an innovative company. When you're talking about my organization, Control Products and Systems here in the United States, you're going to find you're dealing with an open, honest, and engaging organization that's looking to do business.
Well, that's awesome, John. Great stuff, and we look forward to seeing you again in the near future.
Well, that was cool stuff, Kenny. I mean, Siemens is on the move. Looks like he might be on the nomination ballot for the Control Trends Executive of the Year. Cool, cool guy. And speaking of that, Kenny, let's transition a little bit. What you can look for this week, the nomination ballots will be coming out for the 2016 Control Trends Awards. And those will be up and available till probably about the end of November, 1st of December. The top five or six in each category will go on to the finals. And we will have another voting process for that. So the nomination ballot's pretty easy. We just need your email address for two reasons. We won't send you anything, but just to make sure your vote's legitimate. Believe it or not, we have had folks in the past that have tried to stuff the ballot box. We know who you are. You're not going to get to do it again. And then on the ballot, you'll also see that there's a place you can write in up to three other names or products or whatever. Okay, so that's how we sort of fan it out and learn about new products and people and companies. So if you don't see the person or the company or the product you want to vote for on the nomination ballot, just write them in. Once they get two votes, they'll automatically go on the ballot. Kenny and I will keep updating the ballot. We'll check it every other day and update it. So that list will grow a lot longer as time goes on. Right, Kenny?
Yeah, Eric, it's good stuff, and it's just, again, it's how we recognize all the superstars and heroes and the people behind the scenes doing all this incredible work, making all this, making our planet greener. I mean, it all starts with some person somewhere is doing a great job with a great product and a great solution, and this is the opportunity to get them on this nomination ballot so that they have a chance to win one of the Control Trends Awards.
Yeah, absolutely, Kenny. And speaking of awards, we got a couple of new categories this year. One of them is going to be the most impactful video. Okay, you think about, we really are becoming a video society. I mean, YouTube is probably the number one teacher out there. Control Trends is obviously big on video, so this just makes a lot of sense. So when you write that in, probably write down the, we got to figure that out where you can send the link in or whatever. But write down the video and then maybe put the link. We'll figure that out. But that's a new product, a new category. The second one, Kenny, we're thrilled about this. As you know, we're on a mission to attract younger people into our industry and also on a mission to attract more women into our industry. So for the first time ever, we're going to have the Control Trends Woman of the Year. So if you know, and they don't necessarily have to be an executive. They could be somebody just rocks and rolls. And I give you a great example, Kenny. Siemens has one of their outstanding salespeople, a woman by the name of Ruth Hershey. And to give you an example, sort of what the Women of the Year might look like, I had a chance to catch up with Ruth, so check this clip out.
Here with Ruth Hershey from Siemens at the Siemens partner meeting. And Ruth, everybody talks to me, says, if you want to know how to be successful in this industry, go talk to Ruth. She's been doing it for 18 years.
18 years.
How'd you get in the business?
Oh, I worked for Amran Electronics, and then I knew somebody that worked at Siemens in the purchasing group, and he got me over here, and I worked for OEM for 3 years, and then I went over to our CPS channel, and selling valves and actuators, sensors, thermostats, and some building automation for 18 years.
Awesome. So I take it you like it?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. Yes. And there's some other women in the industry too, but I think it's a little bit of competition with the guys, and I have a lot of fun.
Well, so let me ask you a question. So we have a problem in this industry. We do not have enough people to do the jobs that are needed. And specifically, we are trying to attract more women to the industry. Speaking to women out there who might be considering coming into this industry, what would you tell them about the industry?
Well, women are excellent salespeople, and we have a lot of empathy, so we really listen, and we have follow-up. We feel guilty if we don't get back to someone right away. So I'm just take charge, help people. You know, we have that inner feeling to help people out as much as possible whenever they have a problem or an issue. And get as technical as possible. I really dug into all the technical things, so I look smarter than the guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of cool because other people are trying to attract younger people in the industry too. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you're definitely like a millennial, right?
Or oh, maybe. No. But anyway.
Definitely millennial.
Yeah, okay.
So, what Kenny and I are fond of saying is this is the only industry, if you really want to have an impact on our planet, climate change, global warming and all, this is the one industry you can step right in and do it.
Absolutely, because it's, humidity, temperature, you can control it, smart thermostats, residential, commercial, industrial, everybody cares about using the right products. You do it at home, people want to do it at work, so it makes sense.
So let's think about this. We don't need any more lawyers, so all you young people, don't do that, you're not helping at all. But if you control the environment, right, make the environment better, save energy, we don't even need that many doctors, right? It just takes care of everything.
Yes.
So it all comes down to us and you young people changing the way we do things.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And it's fun and it's challenging and there's never a dull moment. I feel like I was here 2 years and it's 18, so it's really great.
Nice. What's the biggest challenge you found in the industry?
The biggest challenge I feel is everything's changing so fast. You have the building owners wanting different things. You have the building, the needs of the building, and then, like you said, the saving energy and things like that. So you got to really stay on your toes. You got to make sure your company, you got to tell the product managers and the people that you work for, hey, this is what people are looking for. And then and once you do come out with these new products, you got to keep on with the technology and keep up with the competition and with the very fast changing needs of the customers.
So Ruth, what you're telling me, man, is there's never a dull moment, huh?
Not at all. Yeah. I'm just on the go all the time. But it's fun. It's fast and it's challenging. I don't feel bored like if I was in accounting or finance or something like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is for sure. So what advice would you give young people that are thinking about coming in this industry?
I would say HVAC and building automation, it's merging, I think, with IT. It's very technical, it's fun. If you're going to school for coding or some kind of technical thing, this is very technical. It's not pneumatics anymore. It's not boring. It's not the plumber, the boiler Bob with his butt crack showing. It's very, it's really exciting. It's fun, challenging, and it's very modern.
Yes,
it's a modern, very modern industry, and I think it's we're just starting with the excitement in this industry.
Well, I think we are. You're not stuck in some cubicle farm someplace.
Yeah.
You get to get out. You get
yes.
to do new stuff, different stuff.
Right.
What's Siemens like for as a company to work for?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I mean we're always getting new products, and our products are fantastic. So it's very, when I go out there, I'm very confident because I know that the product's not going to fail. I know we can deliver on time. So I know I can go out there and show people the product and be very proud of it. And so it's, that's what I like.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ruth
yes.
version.
Yes.
Girl power.
Oh, yes.
I could just say Ruth does a great job, and you can see the competency level. There's no loss in abilities there, and she's proud of the fact that she's successful. And she had her choice of the litter. She could have gone into building automation, or she could have gone into OEM, and she picked the job she has now because it gives her the greatest accessibility, and she really has a passion, loves what she's doing. And we need that to go into just every level possible. We need everybody, the acceptability, the mechanical engineers we have, we need to get them into the HVAC world, and we need to capture more of that young talent before they go into computers and ITs and actuaries or whatever. We need them in our business to sustain it.
Well, Kenny, guess what? If it wasn't for women, you know how we would program computers now? We would be plugging in the wires in the switchboard, because that's how we did it before Grace Hopper and some of the women in World War II figured out how to write programs. So the hardware was always the thing that the guys did. We were totally fixated on the hardware, and if it wasn't for women, we would not have advanced. So the women were the first programmers. They figured programming out. As a matter of fact, Ada Lovelace, Lord Byron's daughter, way back in the day, man, when she was just some hot babe with a mathematical bent, wrote a treatise on what a computer was going to be. She figured out what a computer was going to be before anybody had any conception of what a computer was going to be. As a matter of fact, she wrote out some of the first sequences that led to some of the first computer programs. So we owe, building automation owes a huge debt to women, because without women, we'd still be wiring stuff up. So there you have it, buddy. Anything else you have before we sort of wrap it up?
Well, two real quickies. We want to say shout out to Fearless Phil Zito, who's getting his book is maturing to the point where he's got he says it's up over 400 pages, but we talk with Phil, and he did an outstanding job, recognizing some of the things we're doing. He's like a Ken St. Clair. You know, we owe catch up with Ken St. Clair, by the way. We got an October edition that we didn't get a chance to get Ken's thoughts on. But Phil's just a hardworking, dedicated author of a prodigious labor of love that he thinks is going to change the industry. Phil's got a great story. He went from being he has a little introduction about, here's my story. I lived he lived through the summer 2000 nightmare where he set in. He was working, lost his job 6 months after leaving the military. He went from a stable job with a one-year-old child, and he went from being unemployed to being a building automation expert. And we recommend you, or we think that Building Automation Monthly is a great site to visit, sign up, and get a hold of this book, because it can only benefit you.
No, absolutely cool. And then also you will notice a post we had this week. Phil is now taken to critiquing Control Talk, Now the Smart Buildings video cast and podcast. He critiqued episode 200, which was probably not the best episode because we were obviously in celebration mode, but you can check that out. Phil also has an awesome podcast, which we will be hosting on Control Trends, the Control Trends Podcasting Network. So be sure to go over and check that out as well. So with that, Kenny Smyers, baby, we're not going anyplace this week, man. We get back to business as usual, right?
Right, but I do have one more, if you don't mind. I got one more plug.
What you got?
Okay, well, we sell Viconics and Schneider Electric, and I had the fortunate opportunity to try out this Wiser Air thermostat. And let me get the English version here, but this is, basically the guide. And I took out my White Rogers thermostat that was here when I got here. Basically one stage heat, one stage cool. And I went through the they have a YouTube installation thing, and it's all basic stuff. Before you take out your old stuff, you mark it properly. And then right now I have a phone app, just like you'd expect. You just download the app, you hit it, and then you can control your temperatures, up, down. We'll get a little more heat in here, let's say. I'll get my wife's attention. But it tells me that I save 30% energy. Echo Echo IQ is learning from the living room to start the heating, but it gave me a nice little summary of how I was saving impressive savings from October 14th. Over the past several days, Echo IQ has reduced Wiser Air's energy usage by 31%. So we talked about the rest of this small space. I just wanted to get in there how we're going to see a variation on the race of the small space. Instead of just being a commercial thermostat specific, it's going to be a solution. And some of the latest reviews on the rundown of who's got the best smartest thermostat out there. You have Nest, again. You have Echo B3. You have Honeywell, two of them, Wi-Fi, Redlink, and Lyric. You have Ventstar, Emerson Sensor, Sensi Wi-Fi, and we will continue to upgrade the information on that and update people. But that's going to be an interesting thing to see who wins the small solution or the race to the space.
The thermostat wars, Kenny. It's the thermostat wars, the race to the small space, the thermostat. We're going to call it the thermostat wars, okay?
You like that?
Yeah, okay. I mean, when we write the history of the controls industry, when you write your tome on the history of the controls industry, you'll have a chapter called the thermostat wars.
Well, it's a good word to have, because I tell you what, the incredible IoT technology that they put into these thermostats now, I'm excited that it keeps getting better, and now we're going to integrate it into our we're going to get the next thing with Samsung.
I tell you what, if you want to get blown away, I went to the Apple store yesterday. They got a whole wall full of stuff that you can hook up in your home. It's unbelievable, from smart locks to just cameras. Go to the Apple store if you want to know who's your biggest threat as a smart buildings or a smart homes distributor, is the Apple store. Fantastic. So, all right, Kenny Smyers, buddy, we got to get off of it here, man, because we've been talking a lot. And if we're going to get to episode 300, we can't go on for 2 hours again.
Okay, just summarizing too, don't forget to get to the website, go to Control Trends, because we got some great posts that we couldn't cover here, but you got the Johnson coverage entirely. You got Project Haystack Organization announces the new members in Haystack Connect 2017 conference reminder, and they're looking for sponsors, so get involved. ACI Brands Casbon does an interface device webinar on 10/26, and we have Sierra Monitor Corporation BackNet Survival Kit, a great post, and of course the highlights from the KMC Genius Conference.
You know what, so Kenny, you just shot us in the foot with that one. You know why? Because you just covered everything on the website in like 48 seconds. So people are probably going to wonder, why the hell does it take them over an hour every week when Kenny can do it in 48 seconds? Eric must be the problem there. So, all right, big dog, man. Another great week on Control Talk. We really appreciate our audience out there. Again, a special thanks to everybody that came up and spoke to us at the conferences we were at. We really, really appreciate you. So with that, we'll be back next week for episode 202. But for this week, be bold, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
There we go, buddy. Let's hope we remember to turn the recorder on. Let me take a look.